morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you guys, too. All right, we're going to start off with Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This morning's message is going to be about the Holy Spirit and why it is so important to listen to him. His Holy Spirit is referred to us in the verse I just read, Wonderful Counselor. So Stephanie and I have been watching a lot of TBN lately due to the pandemic. I feel for the most part the message they bring is good news, but there are some preachers that are definitely wolves in sheep's clothing. They bring a very deceiving message. YouTube and the internet all have great messages, but you really have to watch out what they're preaching about and what agenda they're pushing. That is why His Holy Spirit in us, or this is why His Holy Spirit in us to discern what is right and what is wrong. But this all starts with reading His Word and understanding how the Holy Spirit works. Jesus tells us in John 14:15-31, what is going to happen after He dies. So we turn to John 14:15-31. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world would not see me anymore, but you will see me because I will live. You also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world?" Jesus replies, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." So these words Jesus is telling us is good news for all of us and sums up his will for us in the Gospels. This is the most important message in the Bible due to its importance in our lives. The Holy Spirit is responsible for delivering God's messages to all of us willing to listen. Prayer warriors, Prayer warriors use the Holy Spirit because His prompts are in their hearts. To pray. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I've always relied on you guys to do the big prayers growing up. Not concerning myself with them. But the more I listen to the Holy Spirit, the more I find myself praying for situations the Lord is revealing to me, and He's answering these prayers. At least two situations the Holy Spirit prompted me on to pray for this year have been resolved. I want more from Him, and I'm willing to listen. It brings all of us joy and peace when we are following the will of the Spirit in our lives. How many of us hear from the Holy Spirit but don't know it's Him? This is very common. It happens to me all the time. We sometimes make poor decisions because we haven't listened, and this causes harm or hardship in our lives. We train ourselves like an athlete or a scholar to learn how to pray unceasingly. Decisions would become easier. The hurt or pain in those decisions would become way less, and we might even rejoice in our sufferings because it was God's will in our lives. This race set out for us isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us through His straight path. So 1 Samuel 3:1-10. 1 Samuel 3:1-10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lied down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling him as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So Samuel had been ministering before the Lord before God revealed Himself to him. He didn't recognize God's voice and thought it was Eli. When we are living in obedience, we hear God's voice right away. There are other voices out there looking to destroy our relationship with God. It was Samuel's desire to know God that His Spirit was revealed to him to do His work. See, the Spirit of God didn't speak to a whole lot of people in the Old Testament, mostly prophets. That's why Jesus was so excited to tell us in the Gospels that the Counselor, in John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you in all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That was John 14:26. And Proverbs 12:15. By the way of a fool is right in Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise man is he who listens to counsel. I see so many preachers on TV that are preaching without the Holy Spirit, tickling the ears of its listeners with promises of ice cream and rainbows. But what if God's will for us was to be crucified upside down like Peter? Or stoned like Stephen, or beheaded like Paul? Are we going to be prepared for His will for us? Are we going to do what we think is best for us with our own carnal knowledge? The Holy Spirit brings inner peace and joy. This is how we know He is there in any situation. He wants us to be empathetic for those in need or going through hard times. And I know for a fact He puts brethren there for us when we're in trouble. We need the Holy Spirit to tell us who needs help and who to pray for. We need Him to tell us who to give money to or who not to give money to. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going to As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When they saw them, He said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" He said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Only one of them returned. We need to be thankful like the Samaritan leper. He understood and he was thankful for the magnitude of what Jesus did for him. By Jesus dying for us, we need to be humble servants and remember always the love He showed for us on that cross. Right before Jesus had healed the lepers, the apostles had gone up to Him and said, "Increase our faith." Let's go to Luke 17, 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down and eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper and get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink'? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" So God is sovereign, and we really need to grasp this reality. He knows the past, present, and future. Accepting His will for us is the first step to understanding His sovereignty. His Holy Spirit guides us without any blinders on. Jesus' love for us gives us peace and joy when we are obedient to His will. His will for us is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives no matter what the circumstance. Being thankful that He is the God of our lives shows God our love for Him. It is by the grace of God that we are saved, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, and we should be thankful for this. Not like the other 9 lepers that got healed and just took off to do their own thing. Our counselor and guide shows us God's will in our lives. John 4:34. Jesus tells us, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." When Jesus accomplished His work by dying on the cross and saving all those who believe in Him, He left a harvest. All the work is done. He tells us in John 4:35, "Do not say 4 months more than the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper might be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and the other reaps,' is true. I sent to you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." So if Jesus' work is done, what do I do? Jesus tells us in Matthew 9:37, Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I tell you this, I don't want to be like the other nine lepers who split right after they were healed. So let's turn to Romans 8:5-17. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Or you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. My desire and our desire should be to please the Lord in all things. With the guidance of his Holy Spirit, this will be accomplished. We can't do this on our own accord. It would be a total disaster. We see Balaam mentioned throughout the entire Bible. He was a non-Israelite prophet from Mesopotamia. Although God used him to prophesy on Israel's behalf, he was only doing it because God sent an angel to kill him, and his donkey pretty much saved his life. His work as a diviner was for pure profit, and what was in it for him. He wanted to curse Israel three times because he was going to make a lot of money in doing so, but ultimately couldn't because he would only speak what God put in his mouth. He also told Balak, the Moabite, that he would only deliver what he heard from God. Balaam was an important, famous man known throughout his region for being a great diviner and prophet. The reason for his importance was that his people would not help the Israelites as they were hungry and thirsty coming out of Egypt, and they wanted Balaam to curse them. Balaam was a prophet for his own gain. 2 Peter 2:15-16, they have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness, but he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Jesus tells us in Revelation 2:14, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality." Balaam's story was brought up so much as to teach us to follow the Holy Spirit. His name was brought up as a reference in Nehemiah, Joshua, Micah, 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation. Every time his name is brought up, Israel is going through a reform. In Revelation and in Peter, we are being taught the errors of false prophets and teachers. Jude 1:4 says, "For certain men, whose condemnation was written about a long time ago, secretly slipped in among you, They are godless men who changed the grace of our God to a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. In verse 11 of Jude, it says, "Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error, for they have destroyed Korah's rebellion." Now, being away from our church has really been eye-opening. Although I miss you guys very much and think of you every day, the Holy Spirit has been working in me tremendously because I'm forced to rely on Him without you guys near. The preachers on TV, radio, internet, etc. can be deceiving. There are a lot of different movements. The errors of Balaam are sprinkled throughout these mediums, and without the Holy Spirit to guide us, we can get lost very quick. Studying His Word and reading His good news in the Gospels regularly helps us to know what is real and true. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. When we are exuding these characteristics, we know that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And to conclude, Jesus says in John 16:12-15, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you."